B-Pod Studios.
Are you ready for this?
Whee!
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Boston Celtics, to me, are very, very similar to the Brooklyn Nets in this one way. Either of them could come out of the East. Either of them could be home in the first round. And that's how it's going to end up being, basically. That's what we're talking about here. And I happen to know on good authority, don't worry about how I know. You have some people within the Boston Celtics organization that they don't like the fact that they're going to end up playing the Brooklyn Nets. They wish they would have lost so they would have had somebody else. But give Udoka credit. Remember, he's a first-time coach. And I said this to somebody the other day. If you're an experienced coach and you play a numbers game or you play a competitive game in terms of this opponent would be better suited for us than the other opponent, fine. But when you are a first-year head coach, the most important thing to do is establish culture. And Udoka is saying, we don't give a damn who we going up against. We going to be ready. This is what it's about. We either ready for the big dance or we not. We ain't bound to nobody and we ain't looking for shortcuts and we're not looking for any way out. And I respect the hell out of that because I think that's the kind of thing that will propel Boston. Now, I would be far more confident in the Boston Celtics if Robin Williams was healthy. All right? But he's not. And so we don't know what his status is. It doesn't look good. I don't know what to say about that. If he's in the lineup, I got more confidence in Boston. With him out of the lineup, I could still see Brooklyn finding a way to pull out this series.
Stephen A. Smith, it was actually yesterday he said that, before the Nets won. But he, as most people, were talking as if it was a fait accompli, Nets-Celtics in the first round. Says, don't ask me how I know. But there are members of that Celtics organization that did not want the Brooklyn Nets. Who do you think he's talking about? Players or coaches or front office? Who do you think he was referring to?
Players. I mean, I think Stephen A is a player guy. I think he talks to the players. And so now who that is specifically, I don't know. Maybe Tatum. I mean, he's buddies with Kyrie. You know, so maybe there's like an emotional thing there for him too. We all know how good Durant is. So, you know, and if that's true, that should worry you.
And I think front office, because, I don't know, I think even if the players were to lose this series, yeah, they'd be butthurt about it, and rightfully so for a few days, but are they really going to be bothered by it? The organization, Wick, Brad Stevens, I mean, they can't lose to this team.
You think there's any chance it was Stevens?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, maybe.
There's a chance, but, so I tend to think it's more front office. More front office. The players, they're not going to lose any sleep.
Right.
You will. We will. You know, you hate Kyrie. Maybe the front office maybe hates Kyrie. That's going to be a tough thing for them to swallow if Kyrie beats you. I don't think Tatum's going to care. I think at the end of the day, most of the players aren't going to care either.
Smart would. You know, for all that I've given Smart, the guff I've given him before, and rightfully so, he does care. So I think he'd be hurt by it. Certain role players would be. But, like, again, Tatum, I think he really, I mean, I don't think he'd be bothered by it that much.
So, what about Horford?
I don't know, Maz. What are you cooking on over there?
No, nothing. I just think Horford's a veteran guy. He knows what wins in that league. He knows how good Durant is. And if he's talking to Stephen A, there's also the fact that he's a veteran makes it more likely that he knows Stephen A. Like, I don't know if they have any relationship at all, but he could be one that says, well, you got to be careful there. I mean, you know, Durant alone, those two guys can put, you know, 50 up on us. And wasn't part of the plan initially with that whole thing in the Hamptons to get Horford and Durant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, when they signed Horford,
they thought they were getting Durant too.
Didn't you?
He was the bait, basically.
Like, there was, I don't know, I can't remember what the time frame was. A couple hours. It happened in the same day.
Yeah.
Fourth of July, I thought.
Where they sign Horford and they're in the Hamptons and the plane's taking off and you're sitting there going, holy crap.
Yeah, right.
They might have just done this.
So I'm just wondering if, you know, maybe there's some sort of connection there between the two and Horford knows how good the guy is. So, I'm reaching here. I don't have any inside info. I'm reaching, but I think Stephen A is a player guy.
Well, me too. They shouldn't be that afraid of him. I mean, again, I'm reading from Washburn in the Globe. Irving and Durant combined for 59 points, shot 21 of 31 from the floor. I'm going to add here, I saw this elsewhere, that Irving and Durant scored or assisted on 80% of the Nets' points. So, by that you know, measure, they were responsible for 80% of the points. So it's hard to get much more out of those guys than you got last night. And they beat a really middling Cleveland team by 7 points at home. And that, to me, that's the story. You should beat that team. That's what the Nets are. The talent of those two are self-evident and is really not even worth repeating. I, of course, they're phenomenal players. It's not a great team. And so I still like the Celtics in this series. But here we go. Your thoughts on this or whatever else you like. Alex at Northeastern. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, guys, real quick. I think what Kyrie's doing right now during Ramadan is crazy. Just for context, during the month, we fast. We don't drink food or eat food or drink water because billions of people around the world don't have access to food and water. So we're putting ourselves in their shoes. But more importantly, we believe that Satan or the devil is essentially locked away for the month. So he's not there to influence your decisions in your daily life. So every deed that you do is multiplied by seven.
Alex, and so, Alex, without going too deep into that, so why is Kyrie crazy?
No, he's not crazy. I think so part of that is you can't backbite. You can't talk bad about others. There's no fighting.
I see.
Otherwise, you break your fast. And so that's partly why Kyrie's been so nice.
So I'm sorry. I thought you said what he's doing is crazy. You said what he's doing is not crazy.
Got it.
I misunderstood what he said to begin with. I mean, there might be something to it. If you've put yourself in a good place, a good mental state, a good, you know, if you're in a good place, do you get a better performance at work? Maybe. Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a physical component of, you know, how do you perform at that level and exert yourself physically like that with any fluids in your body? That's just sort of a practical matter. But from a mental standpoint, maybe it really does help these guys.
I mean, look, again, just listening to him, his tone, he's more even keeled. He's more even keeled. Now, look, if you wanted me to be a cynic, I would look at it and say, see, you're capable of it, so why do you act like an a-hole the other 11 months?
Why do you need Ramadan to be a normal person?
Right, exactly. Like, it's in you. How about doing it every day?
I was just thinking, when did he stomp on the logo? What was the date of the logo stomp was
May
30th, so he wasn't in Ramadan. And I don't know if he's just recently converted, right?
Well, didn't the season start later so the playoffs could push back?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's
exactly
why.
So blame it on that. Ibby and Woonsocket. Go ahead, Ibby.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted to say a lot of respect for Kyrie for what he's doing because I've been fasting for Ramadan. I'm not a world-class athlete, but it's definitely very tough, especially with the no water. That's definitely the hardest part, Felger. And it's just going to be interesting to see because the last few games he's played, the game started at around like 7, so he's able to break his fast maybe like first, second quarter, but this Sunday, the first game starts at 3:30. So psychologically and physically, it's going to be interesting to see how he fares during that game.
Agreed. That's what Barkley said, that when he played with Olajuwon, it was the afternoon games where he noticed it adversely affect him. So I'm going to go too far down and turn the whole show into this thing.
But I have a quick question.
It was just an interesting sidebar to me. Yes.
That people have tweeted, because I'd be curious, could you take an IV or is that cheating God?
It has to be cheating.
I would think it's cheating.
No matter how it gets in your body, you're not allowed to put it in your body.
Yeah, look, again, I don't mean to keep picking on the guards as opposed to the forwards and the centers, but Kyrie's not a big guy. So I think if you're going to be, it's more likely to affect a littler guy than a bigger guy because you just don't have as much in reserve. You know,
yes.
I think.
I'm talking about this practical matter of fluids.
I'm not talking about camels.
But fluids and big exercise is kind of important.
Come to think of it, Olajuwon did have a big hump in his back.
Brady could never do this. He's supposed to be chugging water. Brian in Rhode Island on the Celts. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, if I were Tatum, I would love this path and this road because if you beat Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, then the Bucks, then the Heat, and then Phoenix, you prove you're the best player. You get all the accolades. You led the team. He did everything. He's the star. Well, if I were him and all he wants is are accolades, isn't this the perfect opportunity to show it? I'm the best player in the NBA. It's me.
It is, but let me tell you something, Brian. If they had an easy path and an easy road and they were facing Lambs and it got all sorts of breaks and he won a championship and had a ring on his finger, he'd still have proven it. You don't go back and parse through it. And I'll just tell you, you know, the Bucks played the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals. And like no one goes back and says, well, he didn't have to go through LeBron, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't have to go through LeBron or any of the great players. He didn't go through LeBron. He did go through Durant, I guess. But no one does it. If you win a championship, it's all over. It doesn't matter who you've played or what your road was.
You've got the ring on your finger and should shut everybody up. Unless you're Jim Murray and then he still rags on you for winning a championship because he has a bias against mediocre quarterbacks.
Well, a ring is a ring is a ring.
Unless
you're Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. Unless
you're
Murray.
About that Stafford thing,
Unless you're Murray and your championship quarterback not named Tom Brady, then you still suck.
Don't disparage suck quarterbacks around Felger, who loves suck quarterbacks.
If you are, it's a suck quarterbacks club.
No, it's just a non-Brady thing. If you win a championship as a quarterback and you're not Brady, even though you've won a championship, you still blow. Unless you're Brady. Then it just proves your greatness. That's pretty much the path.
I agree with him on Stafford.
We continue with your thoughts right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the team that's been the best defensive team in the league for 2 months. They can come up with something against Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, I think, that's going to force other guys to have to do something. And look, they're special talents. They're flamethrowers. You can't put anything against them. And the most important thing about those two players is they love this environment. They have proven that they can run to the light. They are not going to shrink on this stage. So there's no doubt they're capable of being good enough offensively to overcome their defensive issues. But I do think with what Boston is doing right now, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown playing better together than they have at any point since they have been teammates, they seem to have finally figured out how to complement each other to go with a top-shelf defensive team coming into it. I think that's more of a challenge for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving than it would be even against the Heat, because I think the Heat, there's something with them that just didn't jive with me at the end of the year. I just didn't see a team, to me, that was clicking. I thought when they added the guys, they added Kyle Lowry, P.J. Tucker, I thought this could be the best defensive team in the NBA night in, night out. And sometimes they are. Problem is, they also go through stretches where they have issues putting the ball in the basket. And if you go into that situation against the Brooklyn Nets, I think that could be a problem for the Miami Heat. So I think Brooklyn wins tonight. They get the Celtics. And I think the Boston Celtics ultimately are going to win that series.
Again, Legler yesterday, but that's another guy that likes the Celtics in this series. For the obvious reasons, better team. So reliant on two guys. Again, last night, yeah, I guess Durant could score more volume-wise. But between Durant and Irving, between their points and assists, they account for 80% of the Nets' points. I mean,
yeah, it's not exactly balanced.
I thought Seth Curry was going to be a really good add there, sit in the corner and hit open threes. How many misses did he have last night? What did he finish with?
I think him and Dragic and one of the other bench guys combined for like 9 points.
He's been bad lately.
He's had a bad ankle for a while.
Non-factor. You know, Brown was their third guy last night, but, you know, what can you expect from him? Does he even average 10 points a night? So
he's right around that.
It's just not enough.
Yeah, he's right. He's playing a little over his head, but he's right around 10.
All right, 617-779-0985. We got Jim in Ipswich. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, what's up, Commander?
I'm sorry, Jim. What do you got, Jim?
Hey, so, Mike, I agree with you. Kyrie's going to come in here, and every time he touches the ball, he's going to get his ass booed, and it's going to get to him. It's going to get to him, and this is Tatum's chance to show you're one of the top five players in the league. You played great against Durant in the last game. Take over the series and prove you're the man. Celtics in five.
Okay. Just the Tatum thing. Tatum, I should be motivated to prove that he's an MVP guy and an elite, elite, elite guy. And that I think, will be his motivation. I don't know that he's particularly motivated to beat Kyrie Irving like you want him to be. Like, the fans want these Celtics players to hate Kyrie and to hate the Nets like the old days where, you know, you hated Lambeer, and Bird hated Lambeer as much as you did, right? And Parrish and those guys hated Lambeer and Isaiah and that team as much as you did. And it was great. It worked. It all fit together. And they hated the Lakers as much as you. The players did. Doesn't work that way anymore.
No.
But last year when I just want to repeat myself. Last year when you lost to the Nets in game 5 of the playoffs, your players stayed behind and partied with them in New York. Do you know, Jimmy, do you know who specifically stayed? Like, do we have a list of guys that stayed and who did go home with the team? Do we know?
I don't remember the VIP list for that night.
But either way, like, just think of that. Can you imagine back in our day, Maz, to play that game?
Bird hanging out with Isaiah?
Bird and Isaiah go out after the game 7?
No.
Or Parrish and Laimbeer go sit, like, no!
No shot. Please, no. But I'll tell you, it doesn't exist that way anymore. No, so Tatum does not have that sort of, you know, edge as it pertains to Kyrie. But I'll tell you what, I want him to be more consumed with Durant. Because, that is sort of his mirror.
Yes.
Right?
But it's not on a personal level.
Right, that's right.
It's different. Like, again, just to equate it to the older generation, but Bird and those guys, they wanted to beat Detroit. They wanted to win the game. And it's not that Tatum wants to lose, but I think that what Tatum really wants is to establish his reputation as being the guy. And that's what he wants. It's not, I don't want to beat the guy. I just want everyone to know that I'm the man too.
Yep.
And I'm on that level. And that's what his motivation is. And that's, you know, it should net out to be the same thing. It's still good for you that he's motivated by something, but it's just different. It's not what you want. It's not what you want as a fan. You want to beat the Nets and beat Kyrie and take these guys down. And I don't think your players feel the same way.
No, look, the one thing that's good, last year I thought that game Tatum had against him when he put the 50 up was eye-opening. He was awesome in that game. And I know they get their asses kicked in the series. But at the time, it was it 2-1 at the time or 3-1? I don't remember.
It was 2-0, I think.
Yeah, and then they made it 2-1. Okay, so it made it a little bit of a series, at least temporarily. And then the game here, again, when they, you know, the regular season game a few weeks ago. When they came in here, Tatum elevated in that game. He was a force.
So, and let me tell you, now maybe Jaylen Brown is a little different. Jaylen Brown and Kyrie had a thing. And as I've said before, Jaylen Brown has a lot of things. He's your clubhouse Supreme Court justice there in the law, clubhouse lawyer. He's graduated beyond lawyer to Supreme Court justice status. But I think he and Kyrie did have a thing. So maybe Brown has a person, you know, I'd like to beat that guy. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see it. Maybe Smart on some level, too. Chris Mannix kept mentioning this last night about Brown and Smart being personally motivated to beat the Nets and beat Kyrie. Because they had a personal thing with them? I'd love to see it. I'll believe it when I see it.
I mean, Kyrie, look, he should be a guy that they can exploit on defense, too. So, like, if they want to seek him out and expose him, they can do that.
Tom in the car on the South. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, guys. I think my conspiracy is that Stephen A. Smith talked to Danny Ainge, who still has friends in the front office.
Why? Why Danny?
The way he said, don't ask me how I know.
Okay. I don't know why that would
lead
to...
That's my opinion.
Yeah, okay. Well, Danny's kid, obviously, you know, Austin is still here, obviously. Does Danny A. and Stephen A. feel like...
No.
Feel like a match?
No.
I mean, not necessarily... No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's probably players. He's a player guy or an agent guy. And it's really not that hot of a take.
Yeah, the other thing with Stephen A., and I shouldn't overlook this either, is assistant coaches, right? A lot of those guys are former players that he covered. So I wouldn't rule out assistant coaches either. In fact, the more I think about it, maybe that's really the answer. But because what player is going to, like, you know, is Grant Williams going to sit there saying, oh, I wish we didn't get Brooklyn? But I could see an assistant coach saying it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But they're overrating it, or they're just they should have more confidence in themselves. They're the better team. Again, reading from Washburn. So Irving and Durant combined for 59 points. Again, they accounted between points and assists, 80% of the Nets' points. Brooklyn began the game looking like an NBA Finals contender, scoring 40 points in the opening quarter on nearly 71% shooting for a 20-point lead. The next three quarters showed why many pundits will likely pick the Celtics to win the series. The Nets looked uninterested at times, which is true. You mean like essentially a playoff game? They just sort of let go of the rope?
Yeah, so this is but I think this is what happens to them when they get up big and they think they can win easy.
They committed 13 turnovers in the final three quarters, allowed the Cavaliers countless open shots, many of which they missed, and then relied on Irving and Durant and their heroics to seal the win. Boy, it's true about those turnovers. How many times do they step out of bounds? Did you notice this?
I didn't.
How many guys were stepped on the not the baseline, but the
sideline?
The sideline from the corner. A couple guys did that. Drummond stepped on the end line. They kept stepping out of bounds. But they did. They turned the ball over a crap ton. And it's like they couldn't put away a middling team that they really should have blown out. That showed me something. That showed me what they are and why I think the Celtics should win the series. Joe just jumped on from Maine. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Michael. Listen, the whole Gen X thing, you know, I'm younger than you. And the only thing I wanted to point out is that if we're going to talk about some real, real strong rivalries, get off the whole Boston Laker thing and just go to Moses Malone or the 76ers.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not that old. I'm not an old person. But those were what I saw as a young person. Thank you.
Damn straight. And they, you know, Bird, Moses eats, you know.
Yeah.
We know. And Bird and Dr. J in an exhibition game tried to choke each other out. Remember,
yep.
Remember that one?
Yep.
Like, so, like, those were the good old days where the teams really hated each other. You wanted to actually beat the other guy and not just, you know, have people think of you as a better player, but you actually wanted to win. And so that's sort of gone. And I just say that a couple different times because I think people are carrying that sort of emotion into this series because you as fans feel that way about the Nets. I do not think the players concur. And it's just, it's a different time. And specifically, Tatum and Irving are buds.
Right. All the, you know, obviously.
Tatum is his mentor. They still talk.
They went to the same college. And look, half the guys in the league played AAU together. Like, it's the NBA.
But
them.
Specifically Tatum and I mean, didn't Tatum say, or Irving, one of them say this year, Jimmy, that they talked about how often that they still speak to each other. Like, they're.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's beyond just the AAU thing. It's.
I'm just talking about sports. The overall culture. Hey, look, but them specifically, oh, they're definitely buddies.
When you tried to boo Kyrie the last time I was here, Jason Tatum told you to put a sock in it.
Yeah.
Again, can you imagine the Garden booing Bill Laimbeer at the free throw line?
And saying stop.
And Larry turning around going, guys, let's go easy. Go quiet. Let's go easy on him.
Now that kind of sports hate just doesn't exist anymore, especially in that league.
Oh,
everyone's
my God.
All buddy-buddy. They all have the same agents. They all party together.
You want it. They don't feel it. I just hate to break it. I hate to burst your bubble. If you get on Kyrie, Jason Tatum's going to have a problem with it. Just know that. Here's an update with Big Jim. We're back with more of your phones at 617-779-090.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hello. At the end of the day, it's still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tell me what you think the biggest matchup is going to be outside of the obvious ones. You know, outside of KD and Kyrie, outside of Jason Tatum. What are some matchups that really intrigue you?
I mean, come on, though. Like, Smart and Brown against Kyrie. Like, these are the two guys that played with Kyrie for many years or a couple of years in Boston. Like, Marcus Smart believes it might be named during this series Defensive Player of the Year. Jaylen Brown didn't get a shot at Kyrie last year in the playoffs. Like, how they defend Kyrie Irving and how efficient they make him in this series is going to be huge. If you want to dig a little bit deeper, you want to see who that third star is with the Nets. Who comes out of it and plays well? Tonight, it was Bruce Brown, but Bruce Brown has averaged less than 10 points per game in each of the last two seasons. Is he capable of going for 18, 9, and 8 in a game like he did against Cleveland tonight? Who is that guy that helps boost them in that Nets lineup to provide a third punch opposite Kyrie and KD?
Yeah, who is the third guy? Who's the third guy?
Should be Curry.
Seth Curry. But he ain't right.
No, it should be Curry. But again, so look, and this to me brings me to, I was just saying this to you off the air.
And that was Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, last night on Boston Sports Tonight. Go ahead.
Jaylen Brown. Like, what is Brooklyn's answer for Jaylen Brown if he has a good series? And the answer is they don't have one. So who's going to guard Jaylen Brown? You want to tell me that they're going to double Tatum or Durant takes Tatum? Fine. You want to tell me that, you know, they can match up with Horford and Tice or the role guys? Fine. How about Brown? Like you said, Kyrie can't guard Jaylen Brown.
No.
He'll get abused.
So someone like Claxton or someone like that? I mean,
yeah, and I think Brown's too quick for him.
Definitely.
So, like, you know, again, I don't know if they have an answer there. So defensively, I think Brooklyn is going to have problems. I just think that, you know, they can score. They can beat you by outscoring them.
Back to your thoughts, as promised. Ken in Maine. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I have to admit, early in the season, they were playing Tatum and Brown to get on the All-Star team and make some money, but and playing two individual. But since January, this team has been playing absolutely eyes out on defense and running the ball. I really think they can run this team off the floor in a matter of minutes. I mean, they're just a machine right now. Everybody is.
Well, the defense I'll give you. Are you going to run? I mean, in the playoffs, generally,
you don't.
Guys get back. You know, generally, guys get back. So the running game, you know, the Lakers could do it. And, you know, I'm not telling you that you can't run, period. But it's much harder to do because teams are paying attention to it.
Yeah, they get back. They try. You know, you don't get the laziness that you get during the regular season. The one thing I will say is if Brooklyn turns it over or the Celtics can get turnovers through the defense, because they can up the tempo by forcing you into mistakes. And then if that happens, you can get some easy buckets. Because, you know, this is how they get 130, 140 points some of these games. They force you into mistakes. They take off the other way because they're not a great half-court team.
I like the Celtics in this series, but it's crazy to me that people think this is going to be a cakewalk. They're not going to win in a sweep or, like, blow them out.
Should not be a cakewalk, but you should win it.
Yeah.
I mean, that being said, you should win it. Marvin in Randolph. Hi, Marvin.
Okay, let's say that the two stars offset each other, which is going to happen on both teams. I think the X factor that nobody's talking about is Drummond and Curry. They're going to feed Drummond down low because they don't have Williams. And Drummond is a beast down there for rebounding and block shots. What are they going to do with that? And Curry's going to hit the three. So the X factor for them is what Drummond and Curry does. Because, like, the two superstars for the Celtics and two superstars for the Nets are going to offset each other. It's about who's going to be the X factor, who's going to step up. Will it be Brown? Will it be Curry? Will it be Drummond? All somebody, right. I'm guarantee you, somebody's going to step up to offset.
All right. I'm not worried about Drummond offensively.
Yeah, me neither. It doesn't scare me a ton.
Follow him, put him on the line. Some of those free throws are freaking scary.
Yeah, he's one of the worst free throw shooters in NBA history.
I don't know if it was the angle of the camera last night, but I swear,
it's like a shot put.
Does his ball have a break to it? Does it go right to left? Because I maybe it was just the way the camera was mounted on that backboard. But I thought he was missing balls. I was like, oh my God, that's going to miss the rim to the right. Like, not short, but he's going to airball it to the right. And it ended up clanging off the back of the rim. It's like, does he curve that thing? Like, how does he shoot the ball?
He's a hack.
Oh my God, he's a hack. But he'll, you know, if he gets it down, he's going to dunk the thing.
Well, if you want to talk an X factor, it's about one of those pure shooters like getting hot, whether it's Curry or Patty Mills or Harris. Like, you got to hope one of those guys doesn't have a night.
So, like that, or Dragic.
He's another one.
But it's not going to be the same guy every night. Yeah, it's going to be one of those guys going to pop one. I mean, that's sort of what the Nets, they have to get. They can't. If it's just Kyrie and Durant, it's not going to be enough.
I mean, look, they get a lot of veteran guys that have played on winning teams. So, you know, I just think a team like that is scary. That's all.
Pam's in Tingsboro. Hi, Pam. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on Kyrie. don't like the guy. And if he really wanted to create this kumbaya attitude about himself, citing Ramadan and how he's had no food or drink, his drama that he created with stomping on Lucky. And I was wondering about whatever happened to the kid that threw that water at him, the water bottle at him.
Yes.
Because I always thought that if he had followed Edelman's footsteps when Edelman had invited DeSean Jackson for dinner to talk about anti-Semitism, and I just thought that would create a better attitude about Kyrie.
Oh.
But
so what, Kyrie was supposed to invite that moron in the fans who threw the water bottle to dinner? That's what we're expecting from Kyrie now? I think, Pam, you're being a little You're taking that one a little bit too far.
Yeah, what you should be pissed at is that someone actually gave Kyrie the evidence of his allegations, you know, coming in here. That's what you should be pissed about. So, look, the fact that the other one that's really starting to go up my tailpipe is this when he stepped on Lucky.
You know who doesn't care about that, people?
The team.
Your players could give two poops about that.
I mean, so he stepped on the logo. Big effing deal. Big deal. Okay, they wiped their bed. They gave you the hillbilly wipe, as Murray likes to say, in five games. And you're worried about the fact that they stepped on the logo? Yeah, Maz, it's disrespectful. What's disrespectful is getting your ass kicked in five games. That's what's disrespectful.
I mean, look, it's an a-hole move, and he's kind of an a-hole, which makes the whole thing about peace and love and my brothers and sisters, it's a little hard to swallow because he does not carry himself very well so often. So, like, I get it. I get it. The logo stomp, don't get me started on the logo. It's an insipid, stupid-ass logo. It is. When are the Celtics going to come into the modern time? Does any other team still have some sort of stupid-ass cartoon logo from the 60s? Like, every other team has sort of evolved out of their stupid-ass cartoon 60s logo. This is the only team I know that still keeps it. Maybe another example. This is so tangent. Sorry.
No, don't worry about it.
The Baltimore Orioles brought back the old stupid cartoon bird, as opposed to the word I'm looking for? Whatever, the proper bird. You know, like that sort of a stupid old logo. Like what team still has like that stupid ass logo?
Penguins.
It's from a different time. It's from a different time, and they still have it. Penguins, not bad. Little leprechaun with the pipe.
Yeah, but Felga, that's our guy, and he stepped on Lucky.
Oh God,
I like that happy Oriole.
What do you think the Mahi is a happy? A happy bird.
I like that logo.
It's a happy bird. It is. Yeah, no, they brought it back. They went to the word I'm looking for. I can't pronounce orthologically correct.
Oh, yeah,
you know who made him do that, or who recommended that they go back to the old?
Don't tell me it was like the Audubon Society.
No, George Will. That stick up his ass. Yeah,
met at work.
Yeah, old baseball. You know. Political guy too, but anyway, George Will encouraged him to go back to the real bird, or to go to a real bird, and they went back to the cartoon bird. I don't know why I'm on this tangent, but it's Lucky. It's that it is a dumb ass, outdated logo. Now, hey, mate, with the pipe. Like, what do you think the modern NBA player, the modern young African American NBA player, looks at that logo and says, "What's this, man? What do we do? What is that? What is that guy?" Like, I've been saying this for years.
How about
you should ditch that thing. The
clover.
The shamrock. The clover is cool. Stick with that.
The clover I'll take.
The old leprechaun with the pipe?
Yeah, oh, but you know what you'll get if they change it to the clover. Yeah, he stepped on the clover.
Fine, step on the clover. But the old leprechaun with the pipe that's a little dated, don't we think?
I like it.
You would. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Well, maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
The Nets are favored.
Really?
Yeah, which...
That surprises me.
Yes, listen.
Surprised all of us.
It surprised all of us. Yeah. And let me tell you something. What I saw tonight, they can't beat the Celtics. Because those two guys were fabulous, and they barely beat a mediocre Cavs team. And Brown and Tatum...
Gotta play great.
They're gonna play great. Because I don't know either one of those guys well, but I know to be... Tatum has definitely got that ego, and he said it. He said, yeah, I saw LeBron get 50, and he got 50 the next day. On the game, he says, yeah, I watched LeBron. Remember when LeBron had that good game?
Right.
He said, I watched LeBron last night, and I want him to know I'm a great player, too. And I know both of those guys going to play well. I'm sorry they don't have Williams. But Marcus Smart, to me, I think he's going to be huge because he is
just a great defender. His intensity going to bring a lot. They cannot. The Celtics going to beat them.
It's Charles Barkley. And again, last night when they came out and the odds first came out, the Celtics were a consensus underdog. The Nets were favored. And maybe it was bet up in the other direction today because DraftKings, last I saw, had the Celtics slight favorites. I think they were minus 130 and the Nets were plus 110. But last night when the odds came out, the Nets were favored in the series, which I don't feel. I think a lot of people around here don't feel. So what are we missing? What are we missing? And what does Vegas know that we don't? That they initially installed the Nets as a favorite in this series.
The high-end talent on the Brooklyn roster. That's what it is. And again, even if it flipped 130, 110, you just said, that's pretty close to a coin toss.
No, that is.
I mean, that is a, so I think what they're telling you is it could go either way. And then that's very unusual in the NBA in a 2-7 series, which is what this one is. I think it's because of Brooklyn's high-end talent. I think they look at Durant and Kyrie and say, those guys can take the game over. And all those numbers you were reading earlier, 59 points combined last night, that they produced 80% of the points by either scoring or assisting on them. I think they can do that every night. I think they're that good. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that if Brooklyn gets 120, that those guys account for 95 of them.
Yeah, but they weren't able to do it time and again in the regular season. So ultimately, I guess this speaks to how Vegas feels about these high-end talent teams when it comes to the playoffs and how they flip the switch. So they look at them as one of these LeBron teams, whether
definitely
it was the Heat or the Cavs, that kind of were middlers, and then it comes to the playoff time, and they stomp who was ever the one seed. I remember it was the Cavs. I thought it was the Heat. The Cavs in that 14-15 year where the stupid Atlanta Hawks were the one seed, and they get swept in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I guess the question is, though, do you think this Nets team is more those teams or more like this Lakers team that didn't even make the play-in? And I tend to lean more the latter. Like, they're not that dysfunctional, but they're pretty dysfunctional.
Yeah, I mean, I would lean more towards the Lakers, too. I'll give you that. But I just think, the other thing, too, quickly, the schedule doesn't exactly help the Celtics in the early part of the series.
Really
two
spread out.
2 days off between games. So Durant and Kyrie can play, what, 41, 42 minutes, get 2 days off, come back, play 41, 42 minutes again?
But that's the way these all are.
I know, but the extra day, you can really push it. You can treat them all like game five, really, in the early part of the series. Now, could it catch up to you? Maybe.
It's
but
stupid.
Two nights off, that's ridiculous. And the NBA does it all the time.
Oh, God, every series is
I know. It's ridiculous, though. It is. It's ridiculous.
It should go games one and two. It should go Sunday, Tuesday, not Sunday, Wednesday.
I mean, it's Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a
ridiculous
joke. They get more time off than you.
I've seen worse. That was just, that's so gratuitous.
It was. I didn't even really mean it.
Unnecessary.
Well, now he just works remotely. Saves the vacation day.
So now we're talking about something that's just not germane to the topic.
It's really not even true. If anyone takes more time off, it's me.
It was just a chair shot. More coming from as he travels with the Red Sox.
I just couldn't pass up the line.
It was right there. It was low-hanging fruit.
Great line.
So I don't even know what we were talking about anymore. Oh,
the Vegas odds.
I thought the schedule. I thought it was going to be Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday. I thought they were going to give you the Gorman said on the broadcast the other night. Look out for the next two Sundays.
Ugh.
So this is it. Always happens. I guess it does play to the Nets' favor. But what if? And again, we don't think this is the case. We mean Jimmy Stewart's phone. But what if this? The game seven is set for May 1st. May 1st. What's the date today? The 13th?
The 13th.
It's like...
Oh, it's so stupid.
Oh, for Pete's sake, it's
18 days.
So spread out.
Yeah.
But if that allows Rob Williams to come back, maybe that does help. Maybe there's a silver lining to that.
Also allows more time for Simmons to come back too, though. And
okay.
Simmons could defend Tatum. That could be problematic given his size.
See, and given that we were just talking about Jaylen Brown, like who gets Jaylen Brown, if Simmons does come back in, well, that alters that whole dynamic. Now you've got Durant and Simmons to guard two players.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take the update now. It's 90 quick seconds, no commercials. We'll come back. We'll grab these calls. We continue Celtics, Nets, all the various storylines related to it with you and your calls. Again, no spots here, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.